Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 14. This is the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You, and I take that literally, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. A lot of Christians these days under bowls. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men so that you may see your good deeds, so that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, and speak to us. Speak with power and authority. Rattle our cage and change us in Jesus' name. Amen. You ever come to church to have your cage rattled? I hope God does some rattling on me and as well as all of us today. We've talked about this tent revival that Love and Care Ministries is having here in a couple of weeks. And I wanted to show you a video clip that Mark Hewitt is the executive of Love and Care. He's a pastor, and he's also a friend. I've known Mark since junior high, and used to whoop up on him in softball. Y'all can feel free to tell him that, anything else. But no, Mark and I have known each other for years, and he's a great guy. And I've seen what God has done in Mark's heart over the years, and I've seen what God has done through his ministry over the years. I want you to hear the story of Love and Care Ministries. Go ahead, guys.
June of 1994, I went on a mission trip to Moscow, Russia, and going over there, I knew that God wanted to do something with my life, but I did not know that it would literally transform me and change me the way it did. Where God really got a hold of me was on a place called Arbat. Arbat was a long street that had thousands and thousands of people walking up and down it. I was introduced to a lady named Galina. Had long red hair. She was a street minister. They told us to meet at a place called Baskin Robbins. It was the only place that we could read. And she began to tell us what we were about to do. One of the things that Galina said to me that really touched me, which I believe was the Holy Spirit, was the word go. The last thing she said was now go. And I watched her before I went. I watched her walk across this road and begin to preach on the street. And as she began to preach, something began to happen to me in my heart. The Holy Spirit began to show me, I think, what I am doing today. And so after watching that for about 10 or 15 minutes and listening to an interpreter of what God was having her to speak on, I headed out and I went. And we led many people to Christ. Just people were hungry for the gospel in Russia in 1994. And went to bed that night and I told my roommate, Alan Jones, I said, God is doing something in me that he's never done. I don't know what that means, but I'm excited to go back to that street. I want to go back to Arbat. We headed back to Arbat on a Tuesday afternoon, and about 2 o'clock, my life was truly changed. I was ministering. I had a girl with me from Moscow College that was my interpreter. We were handing out Bibles and tracts, and man, we were seeing souls saved. And I ended up having one tract in my hand. And all of a sudden, I looked around, and my interpreter was gone. And it was just me. I didn't know any Russian. Not very few people that I talked to knew English. And here she came. She was about 4'10", had a little bonnet on her head. And Jesus said, that's the one. And I have to be truthful. I looked at her and I said, Lord, I don't know any Russian. How am I going to tell her about you? And he said, I know Russian, just hand her the track. And I reached out and I handed her the track and she took it. And when she took it, she opened up the page and she began to look at it, and then she looked deep into my eyes. And then she read some more and she looked up into the heavens and just looked around, and then she read some more pages and she looked into my eyes again. And then she got to the end of the page and she said, Amen. I began to realize that I had a real big God. He was very powerful, very strong. And she reached up and she was like 4'10", I said, and she hit my chest. She hugged me and held on to me for a second, and we both wept together. And I realized that God had saved this Russian lady without me saying anything. And then he changed my life by asking me a question. And the question is, Mark, why can't you do this at home? And I had every excuse in the world. What do you mean, God? I try to do ministry back home. And he said, no, I want you to minister to people who stink, who smell, who wear different type clothing. I want you to minister to people that are prostitutes and gangs and people that do drugs and people that live under bridges and in abandoned buildings that they call their home. And I said, God, why are you asking me to do that? And he began to just share with my heart that was my calling and that's what I was supposed to do.
We're concluding the sermon series, Engage Disciples, today. The first week we talked about that we are called to fish, that Jesus invites us, first of all, he invites us into relationship with him, and he says, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And then last week we talked about how we are commissioned to go. Did you pick up on that word that in Mark's? I had no idea that was in there, but he talked about how the translator that was helping them in the ministry gave them all the instructions, and then she said, go. So God himself, through Christ, has commissioned us to go and make disciples, to go and bear fruit. And this week, it's a little odd sermon title, So That. Did you know that those two little words are recorded together 747 times in the Bible? And I just pulled out some a sampling of some of the times that in God's Word we are told so that, and what that really means is that we are to have purpose. We are to have purpose. And listen to some of these from God's Word. God says, let them make me a sanctuary so that I may dwell among them. He prunes the branch, Jesus said, so that it will be more fruitful. He says to put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. It says that God made Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. It says says all scripture is God-breathed. I've told you before, that's one of my favorite passages. God-breathed, God-inspired. I love that imagery. All scripture is God-breathed so that the man of God, woman of God, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. God is not this random chaotic God. God is purposeful in all that he does. He is purposeful in all that he does, and he is calling his people to be purposeful. I want to ask you a question, and please don't see these as accusatory questions. I really want you to just reflect on these questions. But Mark, in the clip, talked about God speaking to his heart and saying, Mark's, you know, flown at great expense, I'm sure, to Russia to share with people that are hurting people, to share the gospel and leading people to Christ and so forth. And Mark talked about the question God asked him, why can't you do this at home? Sometimes God asks us tough questions. So I want to ask you this morning a few questions. Why are you here this morning? I'm not expecting you to answer me. Rhetorical question. I want you to reflect on that. Why are you here this morning? because mom and dad taught you that that's what you're supposed to do when you're growing up. Be good. Go to church. Why are we here? Why do you come to church at all? Are you actively serving Christ? If you are, why do you serve Him? Again, is it to be good? Is it to win favor with God? Is it, why do we serve Him? Jesus said in the scripture that we read today, Jesus said, "Let your light shine before men." And men meaning people. "So that they may see your good deeds and praise you." Is that a different version? Perhaps a different version. No, I think the real version says, "So that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." You see, everything that we do, church, everything that we do must have a purpose. And we're told here to let our light shine so that people will see these good deeds and will praise our Father in heaven. Everything we do as Christians should be done with a purpose in mind, and everything we do as the church should be done with a purpose in mind. So that. I've been reading several books, but this is one that has really caught my eye. It's a book called Bearing Fruit, Ministry with Real Results, and it's by two gentlemen, Lovett Weems and Tom Berlin. I want to read a paragraph to you from this. And they're speaking to this issue of purpose in our ministry. "A new church sees the possibility of reaching more people for Christ by constructing a church building. Or a growing congregation envisions a new educational building to help more children and youth grow in their faith. There are passion and energy behind the possibilities. Members of the congregation begin to make plans and project costs. From that moment, what had previously been a focus on the purpose of the new buildings now becomes a discussion almost exclusively about the new building." It's so easy for us to get sidetracked. Everyone will be preoccupied with whether to build now or later, the cost of the project, interest rates, and a host of other legitimate issues. How did it happen that the building receives 90% of the attention when the church never set out to build a building, but set out to reach more people for Christ or help children and youth grow in their faith? Without leadership, the people of the congregation will begin to think that the church is about building a new structure. Not so. The church is not in the building business. The church is in the discipleship business. And in this case, the church has discerned that they must have more space to fulfill that mission so that they can reach more people for Christ. There's so many in our fellowship. There's so many in our fellowship. I want to invite you to look at your handout, the white sheet that's folded. We had this last week, but I had some blanks in it. I've filled in the blanks for you this week. And I want to touch on this briefly. This is a leadership structure, a ministry model that we have implemented here at the church. But the purpose of the DINE, this is called the DINE ministry teams, the purpose of the DINE committees are not to fulfill this structure. The purpose must be, and we've stated those at the very top, making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. That's the official United Methodist vision and mission. And we are, because that's, basically that's the Great Commission from Christ Himself. And then our church has adopted in living into that. How do we do that? By loving God by loving people and by offering them Christ. And so you can see here each one of these different quadrants, the D and the I and the N and the E, you can see that what they each stand for. I've shown it out there to you. And look at the scripture underneath, like, for instance, deploy. The scripture reference for deploying, sending out from our church, our fellowship, to go is to go and bear fruit. That command came from Christ himself, sending out the disciples to engage the culture with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And under the invite teams, go and tell. And don't just tell people, we're not just telling people about Wylie United Methodist Church, because I hate to break it to you, but did you know that Wylie United Methodist Church hasn't saved anybody? I mean, Wylie United Methodist Church or your pastor did not hang on a cross. We invite people into a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's where the secret lies. That's where abundant life resides, is in Christ himself. So there's this invitation to go and tell people. And then under the nurture column, go and do likewise. And that comes from the passage of the Good Samaritan, where Jesus tells the parable, where the two religious people pass by this man who had been beaten and robbed, and then the Samaritan walks by, and the religious people pass on by, I don't want to be bothered. The Samaritan, which was an enemy to the Jews, he passes by and he shows kindness to the man. And Jesus said, that's who the neighbor is, go do that. And then finally, the equip teams, to go and make we are about making disciples, equipping us disciples. So I would say to you that I would hope that we come here to worship the King of Kings and to be better equipped to go out and be Christ to a hurting world. And so we're equipping disciples through the knowledge of his word and through worship and through, hopefully, through preaching. And we're equipping those disciples to go out and be Christ in the world. Mark Hewitt, I texted Mark yesterday and I said what I was going to do today with the emphasis of my sermon. And so I said, how would you complete this sentence, Mark? I started Love and Care Ministry so that, ... And here's what Mark texted me back. He said, I started Love and Care Ministry so that the poor and homeless would know that Jesus Christ loves them, and so do I. You know, Mark gets it. Mark understands that it's not about just providing a meal and clothing and showers to these poor and homeless folks and giving them meals under a bridge where that's their home. I've gone out with Mark and done feeding trips in the evenings, and you go out in the middle of the woods and there's tents set up or just they've put cardboard and stacked it and leaned it up against a tree, and that's their home. That's what they call it. Come sit down in my home. And so it's not just about taking a meal to them, but it's about loving the poor and homeless that they would know Christ loves them, and so do I. I have asked several members in our church. So we have so many people. You know, the ministry at Wylie Methodist Church is not all done by the paid staff. We have so many of you. And so many more that I haven't even asked to come forward this morning. But just as a sampling, I have asked some members to come forward and to complete that sentence. I do whatever it is they do in our church. I do that so that, and I've asked them to fill that in themselves. Now, I want you to understand that God does not call us to be a boastful and prideful people. What he calls us to do is let our light shine so that men would know him and praise him. So I want you to understand that this is not a time of boasting. This is a time of letting our light shine and sharing that with one another so that we understand this concept of purpose in our church and in the kingdom. So if I've asked you to do that, if you would kind of make your way down to this end and make a line here from the altar table out. Please don't be offended if I didn't ask you. You may just want to thank God that I didn't call you. because there's a lot more that aren't coming that do many wonderful things in our church. Up here. So just to remind you, I've told them all, but I know that, you know, Tommy and some of the others are slower, so I'm going to help Tommy. So what I'm asking you to do, I'm going to let each one of you come to the mic, and you have different ministries within the church, and state what that ministry is, and you do that so that what? And share that you can, and then feel free to go and have y'all come on. I don't bite. Come on, right here in the center. And then just pass the mic on to the one behind you when you say your one or two sentences.
Would you mind?
One more time.
We do manicures at Sears Retirement Center, and we do it because we love to do things for people and for the love of Christ.
I serve as a Sunday school teacher and a small group leader so that I can tell people that the God of the universe loves them and desires intimate relationship with them.
Thank you. I, along with Ann Reiling, do the communion once a month and sometimes twice at Easter and Christmas. And we enjoy serving the Lord's Supper so much. And we always enjoy your help helping us. Thank you.
I volunteer at Love and Care Ministry so that God may be glorified through me, and so that they know, even though they may be poor and hurting, God loves them so much. Thank you.
I coordinate the greeters and ushers. We like to greet you with a warm smile, a friendly and firm handshake, and welcome you into this house. Regardless of the problems that you've had in the morning, rushing around trying to get the family, the kids together, that when you walk through that door, you know that you are in a place where you're going to be loved, and you are in a warm family setting. And I also have the other additional responsibility of coordinating the men's breakfast on the second Saturday of the morning. That's where we get together for a good breakfast, maybe not a healthy breakfast, but a good breakfast, and a lot of warm fellowship from the men. And we welcome you men into this breakfast.
I serve at the food pantry along with many others. Our church has volunteered for the third Tuesday in each month. There's a huge amount of hunger in this city. And we just try to help feed those folks and show them that God loves them.
Sharon and I have been called to teach a Sunday school class so that we can, those that attend our Sunday school class can become better ministers for Christ outside the walls of this building. We do that by first learning to love and pray and care for the ones that are in our class. I feel like we need to get pretty good at that before we try to do it outside the walls of our class. And then also we try to deepen our knowledge of the Word that we might be more effective in giving an answer for our faith.
We make cookies so that the prisoners know how much God loves them.
And I chair the stewardship committee so that this fellowship might be encouraged to be grateful and generous and joy-filled givers as God's called us to be, and that the Lord might bless us and our church through that.
I help serve the Wednesday evening meals and coordinate the prayer ministry so that Christ may be glorified.
I'm a greeter and on the trustees, and I do that joyfully most of the time, joyfully commitment and obedience to God's call for us to be good servants.
Nice. Don't mind the noise. Jeff said I had two sentences, and that's hard for me. I'm Lee Butler. I do the visuals, so if you can't keep up with the songs, it's my fault. I guess I work the back because I can. God didn't care about your ability. He cares about your ability. So what I want to tell you is if you can, and there's no excuse out there, do it.
I sing in the praise team. I do this because God has given me this one talent, and I have forever wanted to use it to glorify him. I've never wanted to sing anywhere but in church. And I've been doing it since I was 12 years old.
I am the funeral meal coordinator. And this is so much more than just a meal. It is our opportunity as the church to show a grieving family that Christ loved and compassion for them.
Cindy and I help build and decorate the setting for Vacation Bible School.
My turn. So that the kids will feel the excitement and the joy of his kingdom, and hopefully they will all be members of it really soon.
I serve on a His Hands team like many of you so that people might see Christ's love and know that he has not forgotten them.
I serve on the welcoming committee with many others, and I follow up with new visitors so that they can be offered Christ.
I sing on the praise team so that the Lord is glorified in one way that I know that I can do, and to show others that through him you can have peace and happiness so that you can have eternal life.
I run the sound at Wiley Methodist because I get to be at the back. Not up here. But no, seriously, I run the sound I run the sound system so that I can help to create an atmosphere, a good atmosphere for worshiping the Lord.
Good to be kingdom partners with you. I want to leave you with this scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Let's pray. Father, what a privilege it is that you have found us trustworthy with the gospel of Jesus Christ. What an honor and privilege that you have called us to be your ambassadors. And what an honor it is to let our light shine so that men would know and praise you. Father, let everything that we do have purpose. Let us not be a resounding gong that just makes noise. Let us not be a people of just rules. Too many times the church is just conveys to the world that just do it our way and everything will be good. And you'll be one of us. Father, you've called us to love. You've called us to go and to be fruitful. And I just give you thanks for those, not just the ones that spoke this morning, Father, but so many more in these seats out here and that aren't even here this morning that serve you out of this fellowship. Help us to be a fruitful people, God. And help us to never be boastful, never be proud. But let us love with a humble heart the way you have shown us. Help us to be that kind of people. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would stand, if you're able, as we close this morning, altar's open. I will be here to pray with you or to talk to you about Jesus Christ or this church, anything you want to visit about.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my and let them move at the impulse of Thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for Thee. Swift and beautiful.
Just the voices.
Let your light shine so that the people that see it may praise your Father in heaven. We are dismissed in Jesus' name.
Shout to the Lord all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar. At the sound of your name, I sing for joy at the work of your hand. Forever I love you, forever I stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have. Oh, nothing compares to the promise.